Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to all my podcasts, because I'll probably publish this everywhere. I don't know. And I have Laszlo Montgomery here from the China History Podcast. And he just kind of popped by for some tea. And how's it going?
Great, great. Pleasure to be here in your humble abode here. I feel right at home.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have an agenda. You told me you were coming like yesterday, so I didn't, you know, we didn't prepare any show or anything.
I canceled on you, and then it was back on again.
Yeah, I'm happy that my apartment is as clean as it is, because I just got back from Oregon and I had a truckload of, like, I brought this clock back, and there was boxes from stuff that I hadn't seen in 10 years, you know, that was really interesting. But you're in the Bay Area for a week.
Yeah, so, here for a week to hang.
Thanks for popping by. I announced on Twitter and Facebook. I just gave them like an hour warning or less.
Wow.
But I announced that you're coming, and I asked, I think we just got a couple of questions. Let's see.
Gee,
but I
asked, doesn't have anything to do with history.
Anything you want to know. Some of them do.
Some of them
are really silly.
I didn't bring my library with me.
Yeah, well, there was one on Twitter. Let me just say who it was, because, yeah, well, actually, History Podcast Fan, that's his Twitter name.
Must like history.
Yeah, he wanted to know the connections between Germany and China, but actually, we've been talking about doing
collaboration. Yeah,
episode, because...
do the whole Qingdao thing.
Qingdao, yeah. See, and that's exactly why, because the pronunciation, I'll kill it. I had to ask somebody I did a Chinese alchemist, Ge Hong, and I had to ask somebody for each, every time there was Chinese characters in my outline.
I'll let you know.
So, that'll be great. So we will devote a whole episode to that. So we're not going to do that now, but here,
that's a good one.
So here is, yeah, I think that'll be a lot of fun. Okay, here's, Joey Brunel asks, he wants to know if you realize how badass you are.
No idea. At my age, you can't. That can't.
I mean, you do have a lot of fans out there. You're definitely.
That's because they've never seen me.
Oh. Well, I got a question for you. So, were you surprised how I look, or have you seen?
Oh, I've seen what you look like already, and I watched your video.
Oh, the videos.
Before,
yeah, okay.
Because so
Peter, I've seen you. I saw an interview with you somewhere. So I saw how you looked a year or two ago. I can't remember. And I saw Peter Adamson before I interviewed him, but he was surprised to see me. And also, I interviewed a German history podcaster, and we were both kind of like surprised at first sight, like, oh, you look,
yeah,
you're not what I imagined.
Yeah, it's always a hoot, especially after you haven't seen somebody you know and you haven't seen them for 40 years.
Oh, yeah.
But you're probably not even 40 years old.
Yeah.
So what do you, but why, how would you know
I just,
that?
I just saw a bunch of people that I haven't seen in 10 years since college, basically. And that was already like, huh, yeah. Okay, I got another question here.
Yes.
This one's another silly one. Chris Miller, and thanks, Chris, by the way, he writes, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck was in China, say around 500 CE?
Oh, shoot. Do you want that in volume or weight?
Do you have a nice unit of weight? It would be exactly 500 cubits.
Nah,
or
he wouldn't chuck much wood. He'd probably end up in somebody's pot before he could do too much damage.
There you go. That's a good answer. Okay, let's see. I answered his question, actually. I said, it's as much wood as a woodchuck could chuck if the woodchuck was in China, say, around 500 CE. But see, he said he wanted to hear it from the expert, not from me.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. I don't know. He'll have to ask me for things after the Sui Dynasty. I probably would know more.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, Matteo Jorge writes in, And this is a good one. Besides Chinese history, what other areas of history do you like?
Bohemia, alchemy.
Oh, there you go. Germany. Yeah, yeah. Those are. Hey, we could be here all day.
World War II.
Weird artifacts, right?
Yeah. You know, I like them all. Yeah. You know, obviously, some are better than others, but yeah, I just don't have as much time to listen.
Yeah. See, I kind of like it. So I kind of like a good story over a specific. I mean, there's some periods that I'm drawn towards, but it's more about. That's kind of like why I like history podcasts, because I can listen to almost any topic. Have you ever heard the history of English?
Where it's about aware of it.
I knew nothing about etymology and all that stuff, yeah. And I listened to the first one, and he has kind of a monotone way of delivery, but I was just hooked. I was just like really paying attention, you know? But yeah, I never thought that would be an interest, right? Okay, let's see. Oh, yeah. Okay, there's a couple of alternate history ones here. How different would history be if Chinese discovered and colonized the Americas before the Europeans? That is like an 8-hour answer, probably.
Well, I don't know. Wow, that would be... well, it would be all Chinese people here instead of, you know, our little rainbow of mixed ethnicities.
Yeah, you'd have some things flipped, like... Yeah, I wonder if everybody would be speaking Mandarin instead of English, like things like that, or if
what Mandarin?
If the calendar was a very standardized version, but if we'd be following some sort of Chinese calendar, or
and would they have declared independence from the empire?
Yeah, if it was a big enough influence towards the east, but yeah, I mean, alternate history, you could go down so many roads.
Well, that Zheng He Part 3 episode I discussed about. You know, the Gavin Menzies books, and he says they were here earlier anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's that theory. But they still didn't, even if that theory were true, they didn't colonize and have a lasting effect. So, which.
You know, when you look at history, that wasn't the Chinese. They weren't big colonizers. Uh-huh. They weren't big. You know, looking for, you know,
But still those
places to invade overseas.
Those ships are extremely impressive. The scale
if they
that
existed
they...
at all.
Oh, is that
some
is that...
people say? Well, you couldn't, you know, technologically they couldn't be this size.
It wouldn't have been stable.
Somebody told, you know, who knew, obviously they were quite expert in the subject, and they had said, you know, it was impossible.
I assumed that the ships were real, that they went to, you know. Indonesia and towards Africa and whatnot, but
that's all
not
documented.
That they, yeah, okay, but just that. I mean, the size also.
Yeah,
that
the treasure just, ships they were called.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
Not all the ships were like that.
Uh-huh.
Those were the ones that were meant to impress. That was like their aircraft carriers.
Okay, there's a couple more alternate history ones here. This one I like is this could tie into history of alchemy. What was the most impressive invention to ever come from China?
Oh, you know, I don't know about impressive, but, you know, when you look at what Francis Bacon said about, you know, these three inventions, compass, gunpowder, and what was the other one?
Printing. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. He didn't, so he said those three, more than anything else, cut off the ancient world from the modern world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you think, well, you know, what's that compared to the internet? But, you know, in terms of a groundbreaking...
It's interesting.
Where human civilization benefits rather than just, you know, the guy who got it first or, you know, the guy who had the gold buried under his country or what have you. So, those three are pretty big.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the printing press is hard to understate because it has an impact on the rest of science, on the rest of everything,
Gutenberg
too.
Gutenberg did it independently of the Chinese, probably,
sure,
maybe,
but
you know.
Regardless.
But still, the Chinese beat them by like good 400-something years.
I bet a lot more things would be lost if the Chinese didn't have their printing press. A lot less, you know, manuscripts would come down to today. So.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Oh, how I like this question. This is probably, this is kind of interesting. So how different would China be if communists never came to power?
Oof, who knows? It wasn't very good before they came, that's for sure. You know?
Yeah, so if they would have gone down that road, What, the kind of nationalistic,
the nationalists have reformed and, you know, put together, so, you know, and restored the nation. You got to remember, geez, China.
So then you can go down a bunch of different roads also, but that one's an interesting one to contemplate, because they still have their own brand of communism that's very different than, say, Czechoslovakian communism, right? So, okay.
Watching some squirrel bury this nut here. This guy is very...
vigorous?
Yeah, with his technique.
the wildlife here in the Bay Area.
I saw him dig that thing up when I head to my car.
Oh, that's his stash, huh?
Yeah, I saw where he buried it.
All right, let's see. Okay, I think I can kind of guess the answer to this one, but if the monarchy was still intact, would it be similar to the British monarchy today? Well,
yeah,
actually,
I bet it would.
You could
was already on its way there anyway.
You could answer that yes and no. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that was, there's not too many real monarchies left. And, you know, once the 20th century, the second half of the 20th century rolled around, you know.
But like a figurehead, like the Dutch,
Netherlands,
Dutch,
for example,
exactly.
It's like, what? They have a...
Yeah, every once in a while she pops up for this or that reason.
Yeah, so, I mean, a real, like the king of Thailand, you know? Uh-huh. I mean, even though he's a constitutional marlet.
Okay, here's an interesting one to the future. I don't know, this one will get your show banned if you answer it, I think, in China. But do you think China and the USA will ever develop into a Cold War situation like the USA had with the Soviet Union?
I think because of the Soviet Union experience, everyone knows we don't want to do
there
that.
There you go. We hopefully learn from history. And
so I think there will always be this. Well, first of all, you know, without understanding, there's ignorance. So, you know, when you have enough ignorance on both sides, you know, that will contribute to tension. But I don't see that happening. I think in China, they're very grounded. And although some people like to blow off steam, I think they're very aware of everyone else in the world. It's like, you know, United States, how come you guys get to have your own rules, you know, and you get to do this, but we can't. And, you know, so they see that. They're very practical and they see we do that. And we talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk in some ways. So they will see that and say, well, you know, they'll use that as some point to
show
tension. But nah, they'll never. I don't think it's going to be that way. You know, it's fun to think about it and both sides, you know, Americans and Chinese and their nationalist angst was like, well, you know, if they took us out, our Navy could, you know, kick the hell out of them. You know, what?
there's been saber rattling. There has been, but I think...
But it's still business.
Our economies are so tied together, you can't compare it to, like, post-World War II Soviet Union.
Not even our economies,
USA,
our education system now, our society... you know, gee,
right.
I remember when I was growing up or when I was studying Chinese in the early 80s, wow, if you saw somebody from China, it was like very rare. I mean, you had to be on like the campus of a university, you know, now they're everywhere.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. I mean, for one thing, none of the major powers have had a war with each other since World War II. And I think in a similar vein, you could say none of the...
Well, China and Russia in 1979 had a little dust up.
But
it wasn't a war.
China wasn't a major power then. Well, yeah, no, that's a good
point.
They
were nuclear power.
Yeah,
that's
pretty
big.
Yeah. But I think in the same vein, after the Cold War, one would like to think that, okay, well, you know, the major powers would never do a standoff like that again. It just... doesn't make sense. There was, you know, it was a lose-lose kind of situation.
They might forget things from 1,000 years ago, but they won't forget things from, you know, less than a century ago.
Yeah.
Those things are still fresh in their mind.
Yeah, we can hope not. Let me see. I think that's all the questions I had. Which, all
right.
See, that's good because I only gave them like an hour notice, but the last question was... are you going to cover the space program? Because you haven't yet, have you? The Chinese space program?
I look at that as so recent.
Yeah, it doesn't qualify as history yet. I mean,
it does.
You're right.
I mean, you could do. I mean, yeah, that would be an episode, the history of China's space
like
program.
The founding of the space program. Because yeah, that would be interesting. I would find that interesting too. For instance,
I'm never gonna run out of topics.
Even with something like alchemy, I feel that way. So what's the future of your show? Is that your statement? You're never going to run out of topics. So
yeah, I like to do more of the multi episode, like these big topics.
Yeah,
mini
series.
Yeah, just sort of stick with that for a while.
That's kind of what I'm doing with the history of Germany, is kind of breaking them into 5-episode chunks. And
yeah,
then
that way you could put it on YouTube as a playlist, or on SoundCloud as a playlist, or you know, like that. I just set up my SoundCloud channel. It's literally sat there for years and I never did anything with it. I registered it. And finally, I put everything up there. I divided everything up in playlists, you know, according to a theme, and really nice.
Yeah, I haven't played around with SoundCloud so much. It's free to host, I guess, but...
It's limited. So I pay I think it's like $150, something like $100 It's unlimited. You could put as much as you want. So 150, I got 94 hours of content. So that's a lot of of gigs.
Yeah, if I add it all together, it's a lot. But I have mine spliced up over 4 or 5 different feeds, so...
Yeah,
that kind of works, but man, yeah, server costs are not the end of the world. But if you add everything times 5, then it starts getting funny. Like,
Do you use Libsyn?
I used to, and now I found a free one. It's Acast, and the cool thing about it is you can add a visual aspect. Maybe you can in Libsyn too, but you could add maps, and you can make them like a slideshow. Which maybe I just wasn't smart enough to figure that out in Libsyn, but
I definitely,
this one is just like drag and drop links, drag and drop pictures, and I wouldn't say I'm not tech savvy, but if it's a new application, if it's something new, I just gotta figure it out. And Libsyn is something, like all the RSS feeds and all the ID3 tags or whatever. I mean, I just
forget about
it. I fail
it,
at that.
I have somebody in Edinburgh who handles all of that.
I've heard you say that before.
I wouldn't even know where to begin. Around those things.
I do it all myself, but I think you can kind of tell. So
yeah,
I really like your website. Yep, that's a good one. Does he also do Ray Harris's?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Great guy. Anybody who wants him, get in touch with me. I'll hook you up. The guy's just, you know, he has that brilliant mind and understands of the web.
Yeah. Because mine can get messy with
building apps. Uh-huh. You know, some people have it, some people don't. And I most definitely don't.
It takes a lot of time to invest to learn that kind of thing, and
to some people it comes so natural.
I guess so, yeah. But no, I could probably figure it out, or I could read more books and publish more episodes. So, you know, it's only so many hours in the day. But anyways, I won't keep you hostage much longer here.
I haven't even been to my hotel yet. I have to drive up to Emeryville for the night. Well, we're gonna bivouac for 3 nights.
So how long of a drive is it from like your place to my place? I know you're actually going further up, but
what my place where I live in Southern California.
Yeah, where you live to here. How long?
It's about a 6-hour drive.
It's 6. Okay, I was thinking
up
to
5.
4 or 5. Yeah. Okay.
If you want to take the 101, it's a little longer, or you want to take Highway 1, it's even longer.
Yeah. See, that's one thing that's kind of culture shocky to me right now is the distances. Because 6 hours, that's already, I'm way past Berlin from Prague, or I'm approaching Warsaw or something.
Yeah,
you know,
little Europe.
But definitely, I'm in a different country. Yeah, definitely in a different country. One end of Czech Republic to the other isn't even 6 hours. Now it was when I moved there.
Yeah.
But the roads have gotten better, so yeah, now you can probably cross the whole thing in 4. So, but all right, I'll let you go. So thanks again. And again, this is Laszlo Montgomery from the China History Podcast. So definitely give his show a listen, and you can find his website at ChinaHistoryPodcast.com.
See how easy I made it to remember?
Mine's like historyofalchemy.com.
Ah, but does alchemy have an E on the end or not?
Yeah, see, there you go. Yeah. History of Germany was taken, so I had to do historyofgermanypodcast.com. And
that's good.
Yeah. I need to call your guy in Edinburgh and say, hey, I got five shows. Figure out a website strategy for me. All right. So definitely give his show a listen. And I'll probably publish this to all my feeds so everybody has it. And then we'll make it
easy.
I'll
be famous.
So, there you go. Well, yeah. Sure. You'll have dozens of more listeners. Those questions, by the way, one of them came from Twitter and the other ones came from the History Podcasts Facebook page. That's History Podcasts, all caps, and that's a great group where history podcasters and history podcast listeners hang out together and talk about history and podcasts. That's History Podcasters Network or History Podcasts on Facebook. And sorry for the audio on this one. I'm recording from my living room where it's kind of echoey and hollow. So, all right. Thank you guys for listening and have a good one. Bye.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.